Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. What I want to talk about on this particular episode is, did hip-hop help or hurt the black community? I came to this question because I actually saw a clip online. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the popular podcast Drink Champs with Noriega and DJ EFN. On this particular episode that I saw, or at least the clip that I saw, it was Nori, DJ EFN, and rap pioneer, hip-hop head, former MTV VJ radio host, Ed Lover, famously of Yo MTV Raps fame, Ed Lover. And Ed is hip hop through and through. I love Ed. Big fan, always been a fan of Ed's. But they asked Ed the question, did hip hop help or hurt the black community? And the clip made me stop and think that, because I've been accused of making excuses for hip hop. I don't think I make excuses for hip hop. What I will say is that I've never been one to blame the ills of society solely on hip hop, as if hip hop existed before 1971. And it didn't. I'm sorry, 1973. What am I talking about? 1973. Because hip hop just turned 50. So I've heard people say that, you know, but I thought it was an interesting question. Did hip hop help or hurt the black community? I'm someone who has been around. I've seen hip hop grow since its infancy. I was there for every era, with the exception of the 70s era. But I mean, I was alive, because truth be told, I'm 9 months older than hip hop. But that being said, I didn't get exposed to hip hop probably until I was about 8 or 9 years old. And back then it wasn't even hip hop. It was rap. Right. And here on the Rap Soul Podcast, where we intersect rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. What I want to do here is kind of dive deep into that question, because I think it really depends on what you're looking at and who you're actually talking to. I'll say this, hip hop did a lot, both good and bad. Let's start with the bad. Did it hurt the community, the black community? Well, one of the things that hip hop did was it accentuated some of the violence that has plagued our communities for decades. In a lot of ways, rap and hip hop was a mirror. And there was a point in time where the mirror really, truly reflected the violence that was going on in the streets. And so what you heard on wax was what you heard, is what was happening in the streets. Subsequently, I think violence was one thing. When you're in the position to promote violence, that's something totally different. And I will say, and I can't lie, there was a point in time where hip hop did a very poor job of talking about violence because it almost seemed to perpetuate the violence that was happening in the streets. Just to give you some context, like I remember mid 87 is when I first got put on to NWA, and a lot of the things that they were talking about in their music, and this was before Straight Outta Compton, I'm talking about NWA and the Posse. And then subsequently in 88, Eazy-E dropped with his solo album, and then Straight Outta Compton later on in 1988. But a lot of what they talked about was the violence that happened, what was happening in their neighborhoods. And I don't necessarily know that they were promoting it. I think they were really bringing awareness to it. But if you were around in that time, LA was crazy. I would tell you to ask Uncle Dolomite or Baylor, two of my boys that are podcasters from LA, but they were small back then. But I'm pretty sure the people, their fathers and uncles and people in the neighborhood can tell you about how wild the late 80s was in LA. It was all over the news. The gang violence was crazy. I don't think that NWA promoted it. I think NWA probably brought more awareness than promotion. But I think subsequently there was an era of music, an era of hip hop in particular, that seemed to promote that it was okay to get a gun and shoot somebody, particularly if they look like you. But there's a flip side to that, and I'll get to that in just a second. So in a sense, you can say that hip hop did promote violence. I won't put it all on NWA. I won't put it all on one particular group. I won't even put it on one particular era. But I do think the earlier era of hip hop, rap, I think what they did was they brought it to your attention. And once they brought it to your attention, there was another level to go to, and they took it to that next level. Not these particular groups that I'm speaking of, but that next generation of rappers. And I think they promoted the violence. And they managed to kill a whole bunch of people without any type of consequences or going to jail or anything like that. So I would say that they promoted violence. So that's one thing. Number two, did it hurt the community? The black community in particular? Yes, because it did promote drug use. Now, there's a difference. Well, I can't say drug use. Let me run that back. Instead of saying drug use, let me say promote drugs, because hip hop definitely shifted. There was a point in time in rap in the mid to late 80s where it wasn't even cool to do drugs. And that had nothing to do with the Just Say No to Drugs campaign. It was strictly about the fact that you were looked upon as a fool if you dealt with drugs. And then there was the 90s, where not only did the idea about weed changed, but also the idea of selling drugs changed. And, you know, a lot of violence came along with that as well. And in hip hop, it flooded the markets. All of a sudden you had these drug kingpins, and it'd be easy to blame, you know, society. It'd be easy to blame some of the people that are involved. But the reality is it was definitely promoted through the music. You can go through the music in the early stages of the golden era, and there was probably very to little mention of drugs. And by the time the 90s hit, everybody was either smoking weed or they were these cocaine kingpins. And then by the time the 2000s hit, it was just out of control. I mean, you literally had rappers naming themselves after drug kingpins. You literally had rappers who became these mafioso type guys. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, the music reflected it. Unfortunately, it did. And that wasn't always the case. So I will say this much. The drugs, the selling and using, it wasn't always a thing in rap. It wasn't always a thing in hip hop. I will say over a period of time, it became a big thing. And it did hurt. It did hurt because the drugs, the drug usage, not only was it perpetrated and portrayed in the music, but, you know, there was definitely a stigma that went along with it. And those stigmas hurt our community, the Black community. But the flip side of that is that, you know, it's promoting it, but the drugs had to get here somehow. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother podcast. Number three, did hip hop hurt or help the Black community? It hurt it in a sense of it promoted sexual ideologies, promiscuity, the objectifying of women. And there was a point in time where rap and hip hop were very homophobic. I mean, the F word got thrown around. And I ain't talking about the F word that's four letters. I'm talking about the other F word, the one that people don't say anymore. At least they shouldn't say. Probably should have never said it, but we were saying it back in the 80s and the 90s. Heavily. Yeah. That ain't it. It did promote it. Rap and hip hop did promote very much so, you know, the male dominating sexual ideologies. It was okay to have women. It was okay to have hoes in different area codes. Shout out to Nate Dogg. Rest in peace. But the ability to objectify a woman was definitely enhanced by our videos, the videos that we saw. It was no longer about, you know, finding a roundaway girl. It was about, you know, bitches and hoes. I mean, that's what it was. But the flip side of it is that, you know, there were bitches and hoes long before rap came along. If we're being honest. So it's very interesting how rap is portrayed. And again, I'm not here to defend hip hop. I will say this much. Hip hop has very much so done some harm. In some ways, it's done a lot of harm, but it's also done some good as well. And I think it really, like I said at the beginning, it really depends on who you ask, because hip hop is not the reason why the Black community looks and feels sometimes the way that it does. But I also think that we in the Black community have not done a good job of, you know, also making hip hop be accountable for its sins and ills, just like anything else. But I think we haven't done that for a lot of things. I think hip hop is a small component, a very small component. But again, the question is, did hip hop help or hurt the Black community? I just told you how it hurt the Black community. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, I'll tell you exactly how it helped the Black community. Sit tight, we'll be back in just a second. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. And just like that, we are back. Thanks again for checking out the Rap Soul Podcast. Again, this is the intersection of hip hop from the 80s, hip-hop and R&B, as well as rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. This is the best music podcast that you've never heard of until right now. And on this episode, like I said, we're talking about, did hip-hop help or hurt the Black community? Before the break, I told you a couple of things as to how hip-hop hurt the Black community. Now let's talk about how hip-hop has helped the Black community. And again, it really depends on who you ask. But one thing that hip-hop gave us the ability to do was it allowed us to share our culture worldwide. Rap, in its infancy, until the time that it became a preschooler to a elementary schooler type of kid, it was regional. It was very much so regional. I probably would say that probably not until, even in the late 80s, rap was still, it was regional, but it was catching on in different regions. But it was very much so regional. As far as like when you made a song for your area, for your city, for your town, for your neighborhood. You didn't make it a record saying, hey, I'm going to make sure that this gets played in New York. If you were a rapper from Miami, if you were a rapper from Houston, you weren't trying, you didn't care if it got played in LA because it didn't matter. What mattered was being able to be heard and celebrated in your city, in your neighborhood. One of the biggest things that artists always talked about back then was getting a kick out of was shouting out different hoods and things of that nature, because that's how it was. You really got a better feel for what was going on because you talked about what you saw and you shouted out different streets and you shouted out sometimes people, sometimes drug dealers or people in the neighborhood. But it allowed us to share our culture worldwide. It really did. It allowed us to branch out. It allowed us to be, and when I say us, I mean hip hop as fans, as well as the music and the culture. It allowed us to... it allowed the music to grow. It allowed the culture to grow. And like I said, it became worldwide. And that wasn't necessarily the intent. If you listen to a lot of the rappers from the golden era, they'll tell you like one of their biggest goals was always just to get played on the radio. That was huge. I mean, like there was no money in rap. So for someone to get their record played on, one, to get a record deal, there were two things that most artists wanted to do. One, get a record deal. Because if you got a record deal, you were somebody. Now, again, a record deal wasn't going to pay you a whole bunch of money. But at the time, if you're in the 80s, I mean, getting a record deal was a big deal. And then two, to get your records played on the air. There was nothing better than to hear your record on the air. You tell your mom, your dad, your sister, your cousins, everybody to tune in. That was like the ultimate props. Props really didn't get much better than that, than hearing your music on the radio. And for your loved ones and friends and families and homies to say, man, I heard you on the radio. I heard your new song on the radio. I can't believe it got played on the radio. That was the thing. Nobody cared about money at the time. But back then, we were able to let the culture grow. And hip-hop grew as a culture. And we were able to share it worldwide. And I think that's one of the things that definitely helped the Black community. Another thing that helped as far as hip-hop helping the Black community was it allowed us to express ourselves. Far too often, the generation that gave birth to hip-hop or rap, and then subsequently hip-hop, they were told to be quiet. If you grew up in a certain era, you were told, especially as a child, that a child was to be seen and not heard. Meaning that when grown folks are talking, you shut your mouth. You don't participate in grown folks' conversation or anything like that. And That was very true. But what rap did was rap elevated that generation of children, and it gave them an outlet to say whatever they wanted to say. Rap, in its infancy, was very rebellious. Before the groups like Public Enemy, as I have on my Don't Believe the Hype t-shirt on, groups like that, they came up knowing that, okay, hey, we can say something and we can push the envelope. We can be different, and it's okay to be different, and it's okay to push the envelope. It's okay to speak out on the injustices that we see on a day-to-day basis. So being able to express that, you don't understand what kind of energy that gives a child who is sitting in his or her bedroom hundreds of miles away. You're explaining a neighborhood or a system that has literally had them in a chokehold for all of their lives. And now they get one chance to say something. And with that opportunity, they say everything they can say. So it was major when you had a group like NWA say F the police. That was major because nobody else had ever said that. And to speak out on police brutality, that was major because nobody else had done it. And if you listen to, and I'll use NWA as an example, but if you listen to them as a group, they almost predicted the LA riots. And Straight Outta Compton came out in 88. The LA riots after the Rodney King verdict happened in 92. So they were some years ahead of that. And so being able to express yourself and not be censored. I say it all the time. Uncle Luke, the 2 Live crew, way ahead of their time. They fought battles for generations that they didn't even know would even exist, or at least come to appreciate the battles that they fought for them, just to get a sticker put on a record because the music was deemed to be obscene. Yeah. I mean, like, being able to express yourself like that, it does wonders. It really and truly does wonders. The third thing, hip hop, and this is pretty obvious, hip hop helped the black community in the fact that it gave young brothers and sisters a chance to make money. Like I said earlier, when you first started out in rap, people just wanted to get a record deal, and they wanted to get their records played on the air. That was it. But when you shifted towards the early 90s to mid 90s, when the money got into hip hop, everything changed. Money was a game changer. Money is truly and always will be a game changer, but it really and truly changed the game in this aspect, because now all of a sudden it is, money's coming in hand over fist. I mean, money is falling from the sky like sugar. And it was a great time. With the money came some responsibility, actually a lot of responsibility. But rap and hip hop allowed these young black kids to become millionaires and multimillionaires, in some cases billionaires. And the abilities that they had in rap and rap music allowed them to change, a lot of them to change their generation, their family for generations. And it was a quick ticket to the top. If you could rap and you were good at it, you felt like you could make some money. And there were a lot of people who got into rap who they were literally trying to make money. By the time the mid 90s hit, nobody was trying to get a record deal. Nobody was trying to get a record deal just to hear their records getting played. They wanted to get paid. Yeah, they wanted airplay, but they also wanted to get paid as well. And it was definitely good for the black community because it made a lot of black kids and young men and young women wealthy. Some independently wealthy. It made them a lot of money. And, you know, let's be honest. Not only did it make money for those who lived it and rapped about it, but it also made money for the culture. And it exploded our culture into something that we probably don't even think about as to how much the culture and how much people profit off of hip hop. And they still do to this day. Think about it like this. If you're watching your favorite TV program, when it goes to commercial, there'll probably be a commercial coming on that has some form of rap or some form of hip hop element in it. It's a given. I mean, like, it happens so much now that we don't even pay attention to it. It's unavoidable. Hip hop and hip hop's influence is in everywhere and everything. We are the culture. Hip hop is the culture. It is the most dominant culture. It is the most profitable culture. So it definitely helped the black community. What else? Hip hop also taught lessons. That's another thing where I think it helped the community. It, particularly for a kid like me, it taught me about some of our historical figures that I had never even heard of. And I say this all the time, and it's worth repeating. Like, when February would roll around in my middle schools and my elementary schools, and even in high school, they talk about Black History Month, and they talk about the same people in Black History Month. Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. Those four. Oh, excuse me, and George Washington Carver. So that was five. So that was like the Fab Five. Those five were always going to get talked about every Black History. And I speak as someone who went to a predominantly Black elementary school, a predominantly Black middle school, and a predominantly Black high school. Malcolm X was never discussed in any of my classes. You know how I found out about Malcolm X? Hip hop, initially. That was my initial foray into one Malcolm Little. And then subsequently, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X and went from there. But no, I didn't know anything about Medgar Evers. Never heard his name mentioned. I'd heard of Emmett Till, H. Rap Brown, the Black Panthers. But all of these entities were taught and mentioned in hip-hop, in rap songs. And the cool part about it for me is that if I heard something like that mentioned, I distinctly remember Public Enemy referring to the Black Panthers. And I remember asking my dad, well, Dad, who's the Black Panthers? Dad, who is H. Rap Brown? You know, and we had conversations about Malcolm X. And I remember him buying me the book that I would subsequently read. Hip hop taught you about your historic figures. And I think that's important because I don't necessarily know that it happens a lot now. I can't really speak in, you know, on the today's hip hop, because I don't listen to a lot of it. It's just a lot of them don't make music for me, but I'm speaking for a particular era. But not only that, but I mean, like, one of the dope things about hip hop is that it always was able to transport you to different neighborhoods, different cities across the United States. So if you had some type of working knowledge about Seattle, if you're listening to a rapper like Sir Mix-a-Lot, when he references certain streets or certain neighborhoods, you could pick up on, I mean, context clues were everything. And so that's how I learned about the Bronx, the South Bronx, Queens, you know, Manhattan, Harlem, Compton, Miami, Houston, all of these cities, Detroit, Cleveland. You learned about it through rap because some of your favorite rappers were from those places and they would talk about certain places. They would mention certain songs, Atlanta. I mean, Memphis, the list goes on and on. Dallas. But yeah, it taught you about places. It taught you about historical figures. And it taught you about yourself and your pride. So I think it definitely helped hip hop in that sense. I think hip hop also introduced us to other races. I think hip hop helped the Black community in the sense of it allowed us to, you know, intertwine, you know, post civil rights with white kids. White kids became, you know, very infatuated with hip hop, and rightfully so. And white kids became the main purchasers of the music and the genre. And I don't necessarily know that that was a bad thing. I think that was something where, you know, that exposure, I don't know that we could have asked for more. It really and truly introduced us to different races. And for some, it showed that we weren't what they thought we were. And for some, it showed us that we were just regular people, just like they were. So it did a lot, I think, for the Black community as far as breaking down racial barriers. And I think that that helps. I mentioned a little earlier in the first segment that, you know, when I talk about violence, as far as how it hurt the Black community, as far as promoting violence. And I mentioned that, you know, I'd come back to this, and this is the point that I want to stick with, and I'm sure many of you will follow me on this. While hip hop did a bad job of promoting violence, I will say this much, and it's not in defense of hip hop, it's just a fact. When you say things like it promotes black on black crime is a misnomer, right? It is something that really and truly doesn't exist in a sense of black on black, because here's the thing, crimes are a function of proximity, meaning that you're more than, I think, 80 something percent, let's just say 80%, you're more likely to commit a crime against someone that lives within a 2 to 3 mile radius of you. Meaning that if I'm in an apartment building and the music is too loud, I'm probably going to go next to my next door neighbor and talk to him about it. And if we get to fisticuffs or if we get to shooting at each other, some crime is going to happen because we're in proximity of each other. It's not likely that I'm going to go commit a crime on the other side of the city. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But if I live in Queensbridge, I'm probably not driving to Harlem just to commit a crime. I'm not. You know, if I live in Florence, South Carolina, I'm probably not driving to Myrtle Beach to stab somebody. I'm probably going to stab somebody in Florence. That's the reality. So, again, crimes are a sign of proximity. And again, you have to understand that crime didn't just begin in 1973. You know, being promiscuous didn't just begin in 1973. Calling women bitches and hoes didn't begin just in 1973. And so when you understand all of that, you really and truly understand that while there may be a case that hip hop did hurt the Black community, I think it's fair to say that hip hop did way more good than it did bad. And so in conclusion, I go back to the question, did it help or hurt? It probably did both. It probably did both. I will say this much though. And again, I'm not here to defend hip hop, but I'm also here to say that I'm willing to bet that it probably did more good to help hip hop, to help the Black community than it did to hurt the Black community. And I think that's fair to say. And I think we have illustrations of how those things work. And I think ultimately the onus always falls on us because we're the consumer, and it also falls on the artist. We have to, one, make sure that the artists are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we hold them accountable, but we also have to hold ourselves accountable too. You know, what kind of conditions are we living in to make people say or make rhymes that reflect that type of environment or atmosphere? You know, one of the most eloquent hip hop rhymes I've ever heard was The Message by Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel and the Furious Five. The lyrics don't blow you away, but the picture that they paint in that particular song is very descriptive of a ghetto, a broken down, downtrodden place, godforsaken place that nobody would want to be. But there are people living here, and from these ashes, this is what was created, a perfect song to illustrate, hey, this is where we are. We didn't get here by osmosis. Help us here. Help us. Again, the drugs. You can promote drugs all you want. You can rap about it all you want. The drugs didn't get here by themselves. We know how they got here, and we know how they continue to get here. So, in saying all of that, did it help? Did it hurt? It really just depends on who you ask. In my opinion, it probably did a little bit of both, but it definitely helped more than it hurt. And I think we've all seen it all happen. And I don't think it's necessarily been a bad thing for the community. You tell me what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. This has been another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast drops every Monday at midnight. If you're on social media, follow us at the Rap Soul Podcast. Follow me at 12 Kyle on Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, as well as the TikTok and Threads as well. If you're on YouTube, check us out. YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have both audio and video content on the channel. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast financially, hit us up on Cash App. $TWELVEKYLE. And we also have the flagship podcast. It's called the 12 Kyle Podcast. That podcast drops every Thursday and every Sunday at midnight. You can find that podcast wherever you're listening to this podcast right here. And last but not least, folks, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you again for tapping in to the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. This is the best music podcast that you've ever heard. Again, I'm your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5 G's. Chill.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.